Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
June Elizabeth Wilkie was born May 23rd, 1941, and died on Saturday at about 7:30 in the morning, about half an hour after I recorded the sermon you're about to hear. I'm glad I got it done then, because it's been a very busy day since, but I wouldn't change a word of it. The hope and the blessing and the grace that God has given through His Holy Spirit is, in fact, what Pentecost is about. So I hope that this message will touch your life, touch your heart, as God fills you with His grace in your situation as well. Thank you for listening.
It has been great to be able to have Jackie help us with music, Bill with singing and scripture readings, and Colette helping us on the technical side through these COVID-19 days. It is really something special, and thank you, Bill, for reading the scriptures again. In fact, Bill and Jackie and Colette came into the church during the week to put together the music and the scriptures and the prayers so that I could do my part when I was ready, and we could put it all together and bring it to you on Sunday morning. Does it seem a little odd? It's hard to get the production values up to the level of some TV studio. It's hard to present the music and the gospel with the energy and the interaction that face-to-face communication gives us. But I want to invite you, as I share out of the message today, to really engage in thinking about how God is working in our lives, in your life and in mine. And if I've left anything unsaid about what's happened on Saturday in my mom's situation, if that's on your mind, I am going to add a little note to the beginning of the service early on Sunday morning to let you know where things stand. So if I haven't said anything, then nothing's changed. We're still waiting for to see how this rolls out for us. If things have changed, you'll know before this. You'll already know by now before I'm saying this. So let's focus now on the day of Pentecost and the life of the church in the age of Pentecost. Because I'm going to tell you about what Pentecost means for us as the power of God for the people of God, for the purposes of God. You see, Pentecost is about God dwelling in our midst in a way that is so different than the Old Testament manner. In fact, In the later days of the nation of Israel, when they had a temple built in Jerusalem, God dwelled in the temple. There was no doubt about it. There was the glory of God filled the temple when it was dedicated, and the high priest went into that holy of holies in the midst of the temple, and there they encountered God. And it wasn't some empty ritual. It was something God did to demonstrate that He was with the people. And before that, the temple was mobile. It was a tent, a tabernacle, as they say in the Old Testament language, or in our older English language, a tent where God dwelt, and He moved with the people wherever they went. Now, in the day of Pentecost, we're back to mobile temples. But we've got multiple temples. Every Christian has become a temple of the Holy Spirit in which He dwells the Holy Spirit, which God has given you and which dwells in you. That's what happened at Pentecost. The people of God became temples of the living God. So it's the power of God, the presence of God in you and me, is what Pentecost is about. Now, the Spirit of God in the New Testament is not a quiet and gentle spirit. Most of our songs about it, and we're going to be singing some songs after the message, most of the songs about the Holy Spirit are gentle songs. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. And breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. These are beautiful, wonderful songs, and they do express the comforter and the grace that is given to us through God's Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit appeared on the day of Pentecost, it was a whiz-bang thing. It was a loud and drawing a crowd kind of thing, when the place was filled with the sound of a mighty wind, and people from blocks around were drawn to this noise, wondering what was going on. And when they showed up, the disciples were speaking loudly from the, one would presume, from the balconies, from the windows, from the rooftop of that of the building they were in, and they were speaking to people, and people were hearing them in their own languages, because pilgrims had come to Jerusalem from all kinds of cultures and nations where Jewish people had spread, and they came back for festivals like Pentecost, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage for some of them, but this time they were met by people addressing them in their own native language and hearing unschooled fishermen speaking in different tongues, different languages. It was astounding, and the description of tongues of fire resting on their heads, there was visual, there was audio, there was wonder and awe. It was amazing. And throughout the New Testament, when people received Jesus, there was a tremendous presence of the Holy Spirit, so that people started praising God and speaking in different languages. The languages emphasized that God was reaching out to every nation, that God was reaching out to the whole world, not just to the Jewish people, but to Gentiles as well. And that became clearer as the Holy Spirit continued its work. But it's this whiz-bang stuff, you know, and we see a lot of churches focusing on that. The power of God, thunderous sounds and mighty flashes of light and fillings turned to gold and miraculous healings and all kinds of things like that. Some of them kind of questionable claims, some of them wonderful testimonies, some things sounding a little bit like it drew the crazies, and other things that demonstrate the compassion and glory of God. There is a real power in the Spirit of God, and we must not deny that. When Jesus acted in the Spirit of God, we sometimes saw the dead raised to life. We certainly saw people healed of every kind of sickness and disease and infirmity. We saw a man blind from birth. Other people that had a chronic skin disease that we describe in the Bible as leprosy, but was could be any number of different skin diseases that cut them off from society, and Jesus healed them. There were people oppressed by the devil. Some people with what seemed more like mental health conditions. But Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, helped them all and lifted them up. And that aspect of the work of God must not be denied. But I know that there are people who wonder if the Holy Spirit has ever touched them because they haven't seen those kind of miracles. I hope you do. I'd love to see more of them. But the purpose of God, for which the power of God has been given to the people of God, is not to entertain. The purpose of God, in fact, when I think about how worship online, I gotta admit, it can sometimes be less than moving, less than exciting. We're not TV professionals. We're witnesses to God. And everything that we do falls short of the glory of God. Nevertheless, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. The whiz-bang isn't what it's about. It may draw attention to what God is doing, but the quiet healing that happens sometimes without any certainty that God was involved is still a miracle as God's purpose is fulfilled. The compassion that's shown, and I've got to say from this week that I'm going through, this 2 weeks that I'm going through, seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in the people of God is amazing, even without the whiz-bang. You see, when you think of the gifts the Holy Spirit gives, what do you think of? Do you think of prophecy, of somebody telling the future what God's going to do in a year or two? Do you think of healing, where somebody touches the television screen and gets all better? Do you think of the feeding of 5,000 with the miraculous production of loaves and bread, or the turning of water into wine? Those are definitely works of God, and the gifts of the Spirit include those kinds of signs and wonders, and the gifts of languages and the gifts of prayer that can sometimes be so ecstatic as prayer that it draws attention and really makes you wonder what's going on. But along with those gifts are gifts like generosity, healing, gifts of compassion. When Paul describes the gifts of God, he starts with the whiz-bang stuff of healing and tongues and goes on to talk about other gifts up a scale of importance. And at the top of the list, he says, but let me tell you of the most excellent thing. The greatest gift of all is love. And then you get 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. And on through that beautiful, beautiful poem that's used in just about every wedding I've ever been a part of, and used to shape the hearts of Christians as we reflect on God's purposes day after day. The gift of compassion, the gift of love, the gift of hospitality, and the gift of generosity. My goodness, I am so delighted that our church is full of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts that reflect the purpose of God in reconciliation, in lifting up the lowly, in giving a helping hand to the needy, in caring for the sick. The gifts of God are expressed in casserole dishes and cookies. It's expressed in cards and telephone calls. The gift of God is not always about power and might, but just about God miraculously accomplishing things with the lightest touch, with the faintest hand. That in our weakness, even, God's glory is made known. Are you letting God work His gifts in you? Are you letting God make you an instrument of His peace? Are you saying each morning, as you pray and you reflect on the scriptures you're reading, you say, God, how can I show someone Your love today? Can you give me a gift, a power, an ability through the Holy Spirit to make a difference in somebody's life? Can you give me a word of knowledge so that when I pray, I'll hear from You that You want me to call this friend or this foe, that You want me to reach out to somebody in need? Can You give me eyes to see the needs as I do my daily walk, that my walking might be prayer, and my words might always be salted with compassion. Do you ask God for the Spirit to produce in you the character that He is capable of producing? The fruit of the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5:22, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Oh, you can never be prosecuted for having too much grace in your life. But God can produce it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you think you've already got enough? That you're as compassionate as anybody? Give God a try. Let the Holy Spirit transform you. There will be confession when you realize that you've seen the glory and goodness of God to a degree that you had never imagined. We turn from our pride and say, Lord, not by my compassion, but yours. Fill me with more of this hospitality. Fill me with more of this generosity. Fill me with more compassion and sensitivity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I hope you're desperate for that. I hope that there's some mountains, not just in your life, some mountains that you see in somebody else's life that need to be moved. And that won't be moved by might or power. It'll be moved by cards and cookies, by prayer, and by compassion. It'll be moved by declaring the presence and the grace and the love of Christ. It'll be moved by declaring forgiveness, by letting go of resentment and bitterness, by reaching out where only the power of God could change your heart to reach out in love. It's by being transformed by this Spirit that the Spirit of God is made evident. Oh, these days people can create special effects. They can make it look like buildings are blowing up and we can watch films with all kinds of amazing whiz-bang. But look around you. We love whiz-bang in our movies, but what we really need day-to-day is a quiet presence. What we really need day-to-day is a word of comfort. What we really need today is someone to weep with us, like Jesus wept with Mary and Martha. And someone to hold on to the hope that we're having trouble grasping. We need the Holy Spirit of God in this world, and you are God's vessel to bring it to those who don't have it yet. So Pentecost, let God be glorified in your life. We're going to sing now a few songs that reflect the power and the glory and the purpose of God. The first two are going to be quiet ones as you make your prayer to let God come to you and do His work. And then we're going to celebrate with the third song. So the first song is Breathe On Me, Breath of God. It's an invitation. It's going to be followed directly by Come, Holy Spirit, I Need You. And then we're going to sing an old standard, a bit more rousing, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, just telling about the great glory and power that is behind all this gentleness of God. And we'll conclude our service with Go Now in Peace when that's done. If you just want to listen to the music and pray to God, feel free. If you want to engage in singing the songs softly or loudly, please join with us in whatever way you can. And let's worship God together. He is a good God, and I testify to that today, as I know so many of you can testify, even at the difficult times. Glory be to God.
And I'll sing the hymn, Breathe On Me, Breath of God.
Breathe on me, breath. shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity.
Now sing the hymn, Come Holy Spirit. Sing the hymn, Immortal, Invisible.
To both great and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. Splendor of life hideth thee.
Well, our service is coming to an end, and we're going to sing our closing song, Go Now in Peace. We want you to receive this song as a blessing to you, that you may have peace, faith, and love as you continue in a day that we hope is filled with worship, with praise. As you go away from the computer screen here and you go out into a world, I don't know whether it's going to be raining or sunny tomorrow. I don't know whether it's going to be blazingly hot or a little bit frigid like it is right now. But it's the day that God has made, and we pray that you will have peace and faith and love in it. Go now in peace.
Together, go now in peace.
May the glory of God, the comfort and grace of the Holy Spirit, and the salvation of Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.